This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, away we go into the 4 o'clock hour. It's been a wonderful couple of hours so far. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Scraby and I, getting along? Like brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Like brothers who hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that kind of day. Tony Gwynn jumped in, tried to calm the waters for an hour or so. I don't know. He did all right.
He did all right.
But, you know, I'm kind of... You're going to call me a gaslighter? We're going to go back to hating each other.
I won't use that word again because that really did bother you. I will not use it today again.
Today?
Yes.
All right. Doesn't mean you won't throw it in again tomorrow.
But I won't call you a gaslighter again today.
You can call me that if you can tell me what it means. I don't really even get what you're referring to, though.
It's where you, I got to come up with a better example, I guess. I've told you, it's where people will convince you of something that's not... Okay, here it is. You have a burrito in the fridge, Chris.
Okay.
When you get home, that burrito's not there. You ask Lori, where did this burrito go? Lori actually ate the burrito. But she said, you never had a burrito in there. And you're like, yes, I did have a burrito. She's like, no, you never had a burrito.
Okay, I understand
there.
That's the definition of gaslighting. I'd like to know how it applies to me, though. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what did I say that...
I can't go back in time.
Makes you call me that. Chance for you to win a pair of tickets while he tries to figure it out. You can get to see the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair on June 21st. Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, who's funny. Arsenio Hall. They're all funny. Craig Ferguson's the funniest. Tickets are on sale now at sdfair.com. You can get a pair if you win Chris vs. the Fans. Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult as you go along. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you are a first-time player, let us know before you get into it and you will get your first question for free today. Gaslighting statement that you made was that Mike Schilt isn't letting people get mad about not sweeping a series. That's what the statement was.
You're saying I'm lying about that.
Because he never said that you can't be mad. He just said his opinion is they're playing pretty good.
His opinion, we should only think about the fact that they win series.
Now, I didn't say that was wrong for you to think about, but he did not tell you you cannot be mad about them losing the series. And Tony said he was pretty rankled by it, losing this series.
All right, on we go to a little Chris versus the Fans. I don't think we're ever going to agree.
I don't think
to
we will
agree.
Either. I don't think we...
Honestly, because it's hard for me to battle with you on this because I don't really get your point.
I don't get your point either.
That's why it's a waste of our time to keep
right,
arguing.
Let's go. This is one of the things we will never be able to solve, which is fun for this show. Let's start with, let's go to our guy, Brandon. Brandon is on the chat all the time. Brandon showed up at Spiro's to say hello. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hey, Brandon.
Pretty good. Here we go, Brandon. I know you've already played. It's a question number one. The Angels had a stuffed animal as their mascot during their 2002 World Series win. What was the animal in question?
Oh, the rally monkey.
The rally monkey is correct. Chris, did you not like the rally monkey, or is that Tony that doesn't like the rally monkey?
I don't know. I don't think either of us ever said. Thought the Rally Monkey was kind of funny. Got a little old after a while, but it was funny.
John Lackey was on that team?
He was.
All right.
Garrett Anderson.
Oh.
To name a few.
Okay. Who was the manager of that team?
Joe Madden.
Really? Wow.
Bud Black was his assistant.
Awesome. I didn't know any of that.
There you go.
All right, Brandon, here we go. Question number two. Who is the active leader in NBA Finals games played? The active leader in NBA Finals games played.
I'm going to guess the guy that went to a bunch of finals in a row. How about LeBron?
LeBron. That is correct.
Good job, Brandon.
You know who's second on that list, Chris?
Curry.
No. Close. Iguodala is second on that
Iguodala.
List. Iguodala. Yes.
Is he active?
No, that's why he's not on the list.
You said active. Right?
Oh, yeah, true.
So
Iguodala, is he active?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm wrong.
I'm not going to argue with you because that's all we've done today.
I know.
It's getting old.
I feel like
it's getting
Chris
a little
hates
old.
Me today. I can just feel it. That's why I'm leaving the camera on a little bit extra longer a break. All right, here we go. Question number three, Brandon. What team did Hank Aaron play for professionally first?
The Milwaukee Braves?
The Milwaukee Braves. Stay there, Brandon. Chris, do you know?
Professionally, I don't know. I guess you're assuming the Negro Leagues, but I don't remember what team he played for in the Negro Leagues. So.
Oh, no.
Huh?
I said, oh, no, I thought you knew this one, actually.
I'll say the Atlanta, I think they were the Black Crackers. I'll go with that. I don't know.
Brandon is the winner for today. He's with the Indianapolis Clowns.
Okay.
I feel
didn't
like
know. What do you want me to say? I didn't know.
This show is so awkward all of a
I
sudden.
I didn't know the answer. I can't
so
make it up
awkward.
If I don't know.
Oh, Mike Socha was the manager of the Angels, I think.
Yes, he was. Right. Joe Madden was somewhere involved.
It's okay. They look somewhat similar.
No, thanks for somebody bringing that up. Good for you, Brandon. Yeah. Nice victory for you today.
Yeah, stay there, Brandon.
Scraby, we'll do the rest of this segment now. I'm going to go off into the other room.
I don't mean for it to be awkward. I don't mean for it to be awkward.
If you're just joining the show today, a couple of Padre notes to pass along to you while we have a moment. Luis Arraez, although he said he'd be just fine after sustaining a shoulder injury yesterday, trying to dive into the second base bag, Arraez may be fine, but not fine enough to be in the starting lineup tonight. Arraez is not in the starting lineup tonight. Padres are switching things around with Donovan Solano at first base, and they have Jerkson Profar in the leadoff spot tonight, DHing. So, kind of an interesting line tonight. Azokar's in left, Jackson Merrill's in center. It's a little bit of a different look.
Yeah.
Manny Machado right in the middle of things, right after Fernando. They're in the 2-3 spots as the Padres face another left-handed starter. We haven't gotten into that too much today, but they continue to struggle against left-handed starting pitching. They struggled again yesterday against it. People kind of forgot that because they were winning the game.
Yeah.
After scoring a couple of runs against right-handed pitching in the late innings. But it all went for naught as the Royals rallied in the bottom of the ninth inning. But the Padres, I mean, Friday night, would they have 11 hits in a row or something? Or not in a row, but 11 in one inning.
They had nine
runs
in the inning.
It's an all-time record.
Yeah.
It's an all-time record.
That's amazing.
So when they face right-handed starting pitching, they not only that, the other stat that's out there is the Padres' batting average on the road. It's not just the best in baseball. It's the best in baseball by a lot.
It's
like it's not even close.
Yeah.
Like they're at 2, I think they're at 295, and I think the next is like 264 or something like, I mean, it's really crazy. I'm going to look it up because that's how one-sided it is. Padre batting average on the road is 295. The next best is the Mets, 264.
When I did, wow, it's really strange because the Mets have not won many games.
No, but the bottom line is the Padres are 31 points batting average better than every team in baseball.
So the home thing has to start being thought about as a thing. There is a massive trend there. And I think on Saturday after I did postgame, Luis Arraez was hitting in the 400s on the road, and Jackson Merrill was number 2 in baseball as of Saturday.
Well, they've been doing it on the road. They've been doing it against right-handed pitching, and that held up over the weekend on Friday and Saturday because they faced right-handed starters. And in both games, they scored a bunch of runs and had a bunch of hits. And then Sunday, the left-handed starter quieted things down. And tonight, they got a left-handed opponent in Tyler Anderson.
I mean, it's not hard for the other team to be like, hey, our best chance to win tonight is put out a left-handed starter.
Yeah, but teams aren't going to... I mean, they have five starting... Yeah, most teams have five starting pitchers. Who's ever going to pitch is going to pitch.
Yeah. But it doesn't hurt.
But, yeah, the one area that the Padres are really struggling is if they face a left-handed starter at Petco Park. Because then the combination... We talked about what did I say? 294 is what they're hitting on the road. 295. And the Mets are 264. So they're 31 points ahead of everybody. But at home, the Padres are hitting this is ridiculous, 224. They're hitting 71 points lower at home than they are on the road.
I don't understand it at
71.
All.
71. You cannot blame it on Petco Park. You just flat out can't. The other teams hit the ball.
I say it every time. Padres seem to have warning track power at home. The other teams have home run power.
Well,
it seems like that.
Yeah, it could seem like that. The Padres have 35 home runs at home. It's not like they don't have any. But they're hitting 224 at home as opposed to 295 on the road. That is insanity.
That is pretty much insanity.
So go figure that out, Scraby.
I have a story if you want to talk about something real quick.
What do you got?
Angel Hernandez, he was pretty much fired last week, but he stepped down officially. Or retired officially. Mike Greenberg, I saw this over the weekend, and I thought that it was it's just piling on at this point. And so I saw all of the social media stuff about Angel Hernandez and all the videos of all of his bad calls, and those were all funny and everything. But Mike Greenberg said he didn't want to say this, but he did it anyway. He said, quote, "I want to call it what it was. He was terrible at the job, and the celebration was remarkable to watch yesterday all across social media." I feel like we're just piling on a guy at this point because I saw a lot of Angel Hernandez bashing over the weekend. It's fun when it first happens, and you see those videos, but to just not even ever play the sport and say that he's a terrible umpire, because, I've talked to umpires. They didn't necessarily think he was a bad umpire. They thought he got in his own way a lot. And so it wasn't maybe his umpiring that was terrible. I mean, at times
it was. The best.
It
he wasn't
was
the
terrible.
Best at deciding stuff. Here's the one thing that I'll go to. And that's what Tony said. Tony played when Angel Hernandez umped.
Yeah.
And one thing that Tony pointed out is that Angel Hernandez was not an arrogant SOB.
Mm-hmm. He did say that.
Like a lot of the umps apparently are. I'm not down on the field with these guys, but a lot of these guys, at least the perception, is that they're arrogant SOBs. And as soon as you cross them in any way, shape, or form, they go out of their way to start confrontation. We seem to see it a lot. And I always try to stick up for these guys and basketball officials and everything. But it seems to me, baseball more than any other sport, the umpires start it and bring it on.
Are they just so high strung because they know that from the first pitch they're going to be yelled at?
I don't know, because that's the other part that we don't know. If you're standing there behind home plate and Aaron Boone has been calling you bad names for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's now the 7th inning.
I'd be pretty tired of it.
And then, you'd get pretty tired of it. And maybe eventually you'd finally call timeout, jump out from your position, and throw the guy out of the game. And what it would look like is that you can't control your emotions.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many of us could if a guy like Aaron Boone, I'm bringing him up because he seems the most obvious example of this, just basically calling you bloody awful for 2.5 hours, it'd probably get pretty old. But Angel Hernandez, according to Tony, was not one of those kind of guys that sought out confrontation, that was arrogant. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yes, there
because
is.
I think umpires who are that way also ought to be considered terrible umpires.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not because we don't show that video. It doesn't make for an interesting video on Twitter.
Yeah, true.
So
it's really funny when he misses when a ball misses by like 5 inches and he calls it a strike. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot to be said about how someone carries them like outside of the spotlight or every it carries themselves every day. That tells me a lot more than just a few bad calls.
I'm kind of beyond Angel Hernandez at this point.
Yeah, me too. I just saw it over the weekend. I was like, can we stop just piling on the guy?
Seems like a pile on.
It is.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back. More Gwynn and Chris. Coming up, we have a big five still ahead. And it's all leading us towards Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show coming up around 5:30 today on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the program. 4:22 is the time. He's not with us on the show anymore today. Moved on to get ready for tonight's broadcast. But I want to point out that Tony Gwynn Jr., as usual, and you doubted him a little bit. You'll probably argue with me just because we've argued about everything today.
It was a joke.
You seemed to doubt him the other day when he said, it looks to me like Fernando's starting to come out of it a little bit, is what he said. That was what Tony Gwynn Jr. said.
Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about something completely
and
different.
And you doubted him and you said, how do you know,
him.
Blah, 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 blah. That's all right. You can change the narrative if
no,
you like.
No, what I said was, I know that you know what you're talking about, but I don't see the same thing you're seeing.
Yeah. Well, who are we supposed to trust, him or you?
And I said the same thing. Tony Gwynn Jr. is the professional hitter. I cannot take over.
Over the weekend, Fernando looked like he was starting to put it together a little bit. He is now hitting .375 during an 8-game hit streak. Also homered this weekend. During the streak, 28 balls have been put in play. 19 of those have been hard hit. And of those 28, 17 have been hit towards center or to the opposite field.
That's what you want to see.
That's what I like to see because that's what tells me that he's starting to stay on the ball. He's not pulling off. He's not chasing those curveballs in the dirt. Because when he's going bad, you can throw him a curveball 8 feet outside and he'll swing and go sit down.
Same with Manny and the slider outside.
So, Fernando, is starting to put things together a little bit. That is fantastic news. We'll see if it continues tonight. Now, Manny, He's hit in 10 of his last 11 games.
He puts together hit streaks quietly.
But in those 10 of 11, he only has 12 hits. Most of them have been one-hit games. He's only had four doubles out of those 12 hits. And he's still without a home run since May the 3rd. To put that in perspective, that was the day before Luis Arraez got here. Now, maybe with Arraez not playing tonight, Manny will, you know, finally hit another home run.
You think it's a Luis Arraez thing?
Yeah, I'm blaming it all on him. I can't think of anything else. I mean, I don't really understand it. I mean, I think the elbow's got to be if it's not, you know, going to be a concern in the back of everybody's mind, you got to start wondering now, you know, is Manny going to end up being Manny this year? And if not, is it, you know, is the elbow just enough to throw him off to the point where he's just not producing the way he's capable? Five home runs.
That's not many at all.
I could give you a list of guys in baseball that have five home runs, and I bet you'd be pretty surprised who's on that list next to Manny Machado. Some guys that aren't necessarily sluggers are going to be on that list with five home runs. You know what I mean?
I think Jackson Merrill has three home runs.
Campusano has four. And speaking of Campusano, he hasn't had a hit in about 11 days now. That's got to be weighing on him.
Yeah.
We had talked to Tony about that earlier. He's an 0 for 25. It honestly seems like he grounds into a double play practically every time he comes up. He's not hitting the ball with any authority. Tony was right about one thing. Every time Campusano comes up, the count is 0-1. Like, before he even steps into the box, strike one. Then he usually fouls off, strike two. And then he's, you know, at their mercy. And down he goes, or weak ground ball somewhere. There's not like you have a lot of options. I know you're excited out there because Higashioka hit a home run this weekend.
It might be another 30 at-bats before he gets a hit.
He's hitting 157. It's not like he is the go-to. You know, he's going to play tonight because Waldron's pitching, and they got to get Camposano figured out somehow anyway. But, you know, that's something to keep an eye on. That's
it
all.
Is definitely something.
I mean, it's a slump. That's all it is. I mean, I know people say, well, bring up Brett Sullivan. I guess you can, every time a guy goes into a slump, you can send him to the minor leagues and bring up somebody else. But that's really just not quite how baseball works. I know that it sounds good, but, you know, you got to ride out some slumps.
You do.
It's part of what happens. You know who else has five home runs? Nolan Arenado has five home runs.
Wow.
Yeah. So, man, he's got a little company, J.D. Martinez. It's a slugger. He's got five home runs. Anyway.
I'm quiet over here. I'm trying to find out what's the longest streak in Manny's career without
a home run. Yes. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. only has five home runs. So Manny's not alone. Right? We think he's the only guy. There's some pretty big time sluggers on that list that have five. But it's been going on a month today.
That's a long time.
Since his last home run.
That's a long time.
All right, so just a couple of stat things to discuss there. Speaking of stats, Matt Waldron pitching tonight, 1.96 ERA, his last four starts.
25 batters struck out in the last three.
Huh?
I said 25 batters struck out in the last three starts for Matt Waldron.
The knuckleball is becoming a weapon, and the difference is, and we talked about this at length,
Roundtable,
thank you. God, the what?
The who?
Yeah, the roundtable the other day. We talked about this at length. He has embraced throwing the knuckleball rather than trying to say to everybody, you know what, I have a knuckleball, but I'm not a knuckleballer.
It's like how I say, I have the Scraby Show. It's not the Scraby Chronicles.
Yeah, just embrace what it really should be. And Matt Waldron embraces the fact that he's a knuckleballer. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're like the only one in baseball.
Yeah, and you're the only one throwing it very well.
If you looked at that game last week, and I know it's the Marlins, and you can say, well, they're still major league hitters. Those guys didn't look like they had a clue against that knuckleball.
Yeah, I was listening back to the roundtable.
I mean, it was They had no shot. So hopefully that continues tonight.
And he said
for Waldron
on the roundtable that the Marlins had no way of figuring out how to prepare for that because there's nothing you can do to prepare.
Well, but they're not the only ones.
Yeah, true.
Like, who did the Angels prepare against? There's nobody to prepare against. There's no pitching machine that throws knuckleballers.
Knuckleballs. I find that very strange. With all the technology that we have, we can't produce a knuckleball?
You know, when you go home tonight, you might finally make some money.
Have you ever, I mean, you're a pitcher. You pitched in college. Did you ever try to throw a knuckleball?
Not in a game. On the sidelines, I could every now and again get one to knuckle.
I don't understand how people do it.
But in the game, I never trusted that to try to do it. Because if a knuckleball doesn't work, you're basically just lobbing the ball up to the plate.
It's batting practice,
so it's kind of stupid.
At that point.
Yeah. But Waldron, I mean, it was wonderful last week against the Marlins. And he was throwing 80% strikes.
And he was
that was an incredible performance for a knuckleballer.
He's throwing it over 75 miles an hour, too. I think
throwing it hard. Throwing it hard.
When you throw it that fast, it's so much harder to hit.
Well, as long as it moves around. I mean, the seams don't move, but the ball moves. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game tonight. I don't know that the Padres can do a lot on offense because they just don't do much against left-handed pitching. But hopefully Waldron can keep them in it. More to come, including the Big Five on Gwynn and Chris. I want to know what baseball is really like. And I can find out by joining former Padre and MLB All-Star Brett Boone. His big league friends, the podcast is called the Boone Podcast, 3 days a week. Brett Boone talks with Hall of Famers, fellow All-Stars friends, and get their take on today's game. Relive their greatest stories from when they played the game. Glavine, Smoltz, Griffey. The list goes on and on. Follow the Boone Podcast in free agency, in the free agency app or wherever you get your podcasts. Free Odyssey app. I said the free agency app. I was like, free agency? There's an app for that now?
We have a transfer portal?
No kidding. The free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Gwynn and Chris today, a lot of yelling between Scraby and I.
We haven't yelled in a while.
People don't like to miss that. If you did miss it, opening hour of the show, go to our webpage, 973thefansd.com, or download the Odyssey app. Search Gwynn and Chris, tap earlier today, and you can hear Scraby and I at each other's throats. I have a question that might lighten the mood a little bit.
Ooh, I like it.
Might lighten the mood. Maybe we'll just get in another argument. I don't know. You have a dishwasher at home?
Yeah.
Most people do.
Yeah.
When you put your forks in the dishwasher, do you put them fork side down or do you put them handle side down? And I'm talking into
the little container thing.
Yeah, which side? Or do you not care? Just throw them in.
For most of my life, I didn't care. But recently, I started going fork and spoon up.
Okay.
Because the water will get to it better, it seems.
Thank you!
We're on the same side, huh?
If my lovely is listening.
Hi, Lori.
She puts the fork and the spoon side down into the container.
Mm-mm-mm.
There are two things wrong with this. Now, first I want to say this is what her mom does, because I've been to her mom's house for dinner before. So this is obviously what she learned growing up, and it's something that's going to be difficult to change at this point.
Yeah.
But I wish she would, because A, the silverware doesn't get anywhere near as clean when the fork side goes down into the little container.
Mm-hmm.
But even more so, Scraby, the person putting the silverware away at the end, much easier when you can see where the forks are, where the spoons are, and where the knives are.
That's a good point, too.
Rather than having to pull every implement out to figure out which is which. And I'm the one that empties the dishwasher 90% of the time.
So you're dealing with this on a daily basis.
So I would like the forks, knives, and spoons put in with the handle side down.
Now, when you find out that that did not happen again, do you get frustrated?
Here's what, honestly, I do. You're not going to believe this. But when I put a fork away in the dishwasher, at that time, I go through and I see where she has put things in upside down, and I flip them around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I do understand, because sometimes, like, you pull out a fork from the little container thing, and it's got, like, salad stuck to it still.
Of course it does.
Of course
it does. The water and the dish soap can't get to it because it's buried in the
Now, how many forks are you sticking in one of those little containers?
Oh, I don't know. Just, we have, like, about, we have service for 12, I believe. So, you know, we fill it up pretty good.
Okay.
24 forks, 24 spoons, 12 knives. It's a lot.
Gonzo says you need to make this your daily gripe.
Well, I don't know if it's gripe worthy.
It is.
But I thought it was something to bring up. And if my wife's listening, maybe she'll change. Probably not.
I was just thinking that.
Let's check some traffic and then get to today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, with your silverware problems, would you ever get to a point where you just use disposable stuff instead of using the silverware and the...
No.
No, he says no. You'd rather deal with it than...
I like a good fork.
Say back, Lip. I do like a good fork, too.
Number five.
These plastic forks, they break.
The only reason I did when I was in college is because the person I live with was so disgustingly dirty that they never cleaned their dishes. And so I refused to use anything because I wouldn't go anywhere near that sink. It's gross. So
okay,
gross.
Fair enough.
All right. With the trade deadline just 57 days away in Major League Baseball, there are going to be a lot of storylines of big-name players possibly being on the move. One of those names is looking more and more like Mets slugger Pete Alonso. He's a free agent after this season, and so he is the prime player to be dealt as a rental. The Mets need to rebuild and get under the luxury tax. Now, during the roundtable last week, Chris, you said that the Padres should bring Pete Alonso in. So are the Padres in a spot to take a risk on Pete Alonso, even if he is a rental, Chris?
No, they're not. I mean, the Padres can't go over the luxury tax either. So if they were able to trade for somebody like... I brought it up because I think you're looking for something to hit left-handed pitching. This is the ongoing problem that's been there all year. Pete Alonso is probably going to be the best right-handed slugger that's available out there at the trade deadline. So that's why I said, yeah, go get Pete Alonso. But I don't really believe the Padres could get him.
I don't either.
I mean, the Padres can't afford to go over the luxury tax any more than the Mets can. So the Padres are going to have to be creative. At the trade deadline, they're going to have to find another team to take up a bunch of salary of somebody like they did with Luis Arraez. And it's not easy to do. So, you know, I don't know how much the Padres have saved up. But I don't think it's going to be a whole lot, not to get somebody like Pete Alonso. But I think Pete Alonso would be wonderful. You could move, put him on first base, put Cronenworth on second, and get Arraez back DHing when everybody's healthy.
Alonso's not doing great against lefties either, so.
Yeah, but, well,
he has
right.
An 840 OPS, which is not bad.
That's not bad.
No, not at all.
It's pretty good.
It's better than what the Padres players have.
Any Padre player against lefties.
I think... I got to ask myself the question, so let me go back to
the
question.
Yeah, what is the question? Remind yourself what the question
is. Are the Padres in a spot to take a risk on Pete Alonso, even if he's a rental? Answer is no. They need to save those prospects and all that for someone maybe long-term. This doesn't feel like an A.J. Preller deal. A.J. Preller usually has things like further control or the team paying for some of the salary. Doesn't seem like a deal that A.J. Preller would be into, just sending a bunch of prospects for a rental. But we'll see. You never know. We can never count it out here in San Diego.
Number four.
Now, we already talked about Caitlin Clark, but I left it in here anyway because it's been a little bit since we talked about it. We talked about Kennedy Carter and her knocking Caitlin Clark to the floor in kind of a cheap shot. So, you know, to Caitlin Clark's credit, she just chalked it up to playing professional basketball. She said it was a physical game, and she's playing professional basketball. She shouldn't be too worried about it. So I'm up first. How do you think the WNBA players have treated Caitlin Clark so far? We kind of touched on this, but I think that the WNBA players seem to be a little jealous of her and the attention that she's getting. Now, Caitlin Clark has not asked for any of the attention, but she's the best basketball player, women's basketball player in the world, in my estimation.
She's not.
You don't think so?
No.
What? Where, why is
she's
that
still
person
a rookie in the league? I mean, there's players that are twice as good
okay
as her.
Okay, all right. In that regard, yes, but I just think that a lot of these players...
The most famous player, maybe, but
okay,
she's not
there we
the
go
best.
That's what it is, the most famous player. I just think some of these players see the hype that she's getting, and they don't like it. And so they take their cheap shots when they can. And this is just the life of Caitlin Clark going forward. Chris, what do you think?
I think it's a bunch of BS that they're just knocking her to the ground. Like I said earlier, you're not tough if you walk up behind somebody and hip check them to the floor without you even seeing them coming. That doesn't make you tough. That just makes you a punk. So, you know, if that's what, you know, this particular player wants that image, then, you know, she'll continue to do that.
I like how after the game they asked her about the incident and she said, I'm not answering any questions about Caitlin Clark.
No, and her coach came out today and said, that's not who we are. And apparently, that it kind of is who
you are.
You
didn't do anything about it yesterday.
Yeah, you didn't do anything at the time. You had a chance to address it. 2 days later, you address it and say that's not who we are, but that apparently is who you are. There's a big part of me that wants to say this, but it's almost too much kumbaya. And what I want to say is that Caitlin Clark is, and I'm not the only one who thinks this, the reason that the WNBA is getting all of this attention and the money coming into the league and the eyeballs coming into the league, if she's not the only reason, she's a big reason. And the league would be smart to protect their investment a little bit more. That's all. I mean, all right. These players, yeah, I agree with you, Scrave. I think they're jealous, and there's no place for just cheap shots, though. You want to battle tough under the glass. You want to, you know, hand fight a little bit. But that play the other day was just flat out dirty.
It was. All right.
Number three.
I got nothing else to add, so we can move on to Tommy Pham, Chris. White Sox Tommy Pham got into it with William Contreras and the Brewers yesterday and wanted to fight. Here he is during post game talking about wanting to fight.
There's a shallow fly ball to left field. You would expect the left fielder to throw the base runner out on that play, but the situation of the game, third base coach sends you got to go. I'm nailed out at home by a mile. I'm going to the dugout, and you know I hear the tough guy with all the hoorah. You know, so I'll never start anything, but I'll be prepared to finish it. There's a reason why, you know, I do all kinds of fighting in the off season because I'm prepared to somebody up. So you can take it as what it is.
And then he walked away past the camera. Tommy Pham is a person I take very seriously. He is not someone I would want to mess with. I'm almost afraid to answer this question. I'm going to retweet the actual play in just a few minutes. So if you want to go to @MattScraby, it should be there soon. But, Chris, do you like his tough guy attitude?
No.
Because it's not going anywhere.
I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it, so I don't know what else you can say.
Okay.
I'm not a fan. I called for him to come back at the beginning of this season, and that seems like a long time ago now when it seemed like we really needed him. And fortunately, you know, it's worked out the way it has, and Profar's done the thing, and, you know, there's been really no need for Tommy Pham here. But
true.
I'm not a fan of that. I mean, again, I'm going to sound Mr. Kumbaya. I don't really want to keep going there, but can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
I mean, the posturing of Contreras after the play, it's also unnecessary.
Very unnecessary.
You know, it's so a little sportsmanship, please. Hello, WNBA. Hello, collisions at the plate. You know, play the sport hard, but try to have a little respect for your opponent. That is so kumbaya, because it is so far away from being the way it is anymore that I don't know that we'll ever get it back.
I don't think so either. Do I like the tough guy attitude? No, because you can't just say you want to fight everyone every time something goes against you. I think we're a little bit past those days.
Tommy Pham sounds like he's 14 years old.
It is
Come
like
on,
that.
Tommy.
It's like, you don't agree with me? Let's go outside and fight. Like, that's not what we do
Maybe
anymore.
If we change his name to Tom Pham, he would feel a little more grown up.
I think that the Brewers were a little, like you said, William Contreras and his posturing, they were a little bit too much. I felt like the play was weird to begin with because it seemed like William Contreras was blocking the plate to me, but we have no idea what catcher
I mean, it's like the Caitlin Clark play. In a vacuum, it's a cheap shot, and it will still be a cheap shot. But if you play the whole video leading up to it, it looked like Caitlin Clark was yapping at that girl all the way down the floor. I don't know for sure. It just looks like it. So maybe Caitlin Clark needs to keep her mouth shut and play basketball also.
Maybe that's why she said, hey, it's not a big deal, because she knew she was talking
maybe
trash.
Maybe that's some of the sportsmanship that needs to be improved upon.
True. All right. Number two. Oliver Marmol is not a fan favorite as the manager of the Cardinals, and over the weekend he struck again in Cardinals fans' eyes. Trailing by one in the top of the seventh against the Phillies on Friday, Marmol summoned rookie shortstop Mason Wynn to pitch hit, but the decision backfired in more ways than one. Wynn did not get on base in his lone at-bat, which snapped an 18-game hitting streak, the second longest stretch by a Cardinals rookie in franchise history. After the game, Marmol explained his thought process and said he asked Wynn if he wanted to put the streak on the line, and he agreed that he is okay with getting the win over the streak on the line. Fans were not pleased, though, so if fans are mad, everybody's mad. I'm up first. Is there ever a time for a manager to manage around a streak? Depends on where you are. Game one, you got a streak going from last season. You could probably make a decision around that. If you needed this guy to play to win the game, then you use the guy to win the game. The streak is only as good. Let me erase that. The streak doesn't matter if you lose the game. The streak does not matter. And the Cardinals need as many wins as they can. Chris, is there ever a time for a manager to manage around the streak?
I don't know, but the biggest example of a streak being broken by a manager is not that. The biggest example this weekend of a streak being broken by a manager was Jeremiah Estrada's strikeout streak, which was broken before he was allowed to even throw a pitch on Friday night.
We don't have enough time. Can we talk about that at 5 o'clock?
Sure.
5 o'clock.
But,
we're going to talk about
that was the one.
Yeah, that was it.
He ordered an intentional walk, which was the right play.
Yep.
But you know what? They could have ordered that before they brought him into the game. And that way, his streak would have still been alive.
That is true.
So I might have done that differently, but we'll talk about
it. Yeah, we will. All right. Number one. I was watching War for the Planet of the Apes over the weekend, Chris, and let me tell you, that is one of the worst
movies somebody
I've
out there
seen.
Please call my friend Scraby and do something socially with him so he's not stuck watching these stupid movies?
I love every movie, and I won't finish this one, so you know that's pretty bad, but I got looking, and there are many Planet of the Apes movies. In total, there are 10 movies, with one being released later this year. Chris, I want to know, what's a movie that didn't need as many sequels?
I'll tell you a movie that didn't need any sequels, and that was the great movie Rocky.
Yes.
There's only one good movie, Rocky.
But what about Rocky IV? That was the good one.
No, it wasn't the good one. The Academy Award winning one was Rocky.
Someone named Rocky as soon as you said it.
Rocky IV was not nominated, nor should it have been nominated for anything.
What about the one where he had a robot as his butler? I think I'm
exactly.
proving your point right now.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
All right. When we get back, we're going to talk about Jeremiah Estrada and his strikeout streak, Mike Schilt's decision to intentionally walk, all that good stuff. Back when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one... The only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, with your silverware problems, would you ever get to a point where you just use disposable stuff? Instead of using the silverware and the...
No.
No, he says no. You'd rather deal with it than...
I like disposable. A good fork.
Say backflip. I do like a good fork, too.
Number five.
These plastic forks, they break.
The Snap. Only reason I did when I was in college is because the person I live with was so disgustingly dirty that they never cleaned their dishes. And so I refused to use anything because I wouldn't go anywhere near that sink. It's gross. So
okay,
gross.
Fair enough.
All right. With the trade deadline just 57 days away in Major League Baseball, there are going to be a lot of storylines of big-name players possibly being on the move. One of those names is looking more and more like Mets slugger Pete Alonso. He's a free agent after this season, and so he is the prime player to be dealt as a rental. The Mets need to rebuild and get under the luxury tax. Now, during the roundtable last week, Chris, you said that the Padres should bring Pete Alonso in. So are the Padres in a spot to take a risk on Pete Alonso, even if he is a rental, Chris?
No, they're not. I mean, the Padres can't go over the luxury tax either. So if they were able to trade for somebody like... I brought it up because I think you're looking for something to hit left-handed pitching. This is the ongoing problem that's been there all year. Pete Alonso is probably going to be the best right-handed slugger that's available out there at the trade deadline. So that's why I said, yeah, go get Pete Alonso. But I don't really believe the Padres could get him.
I don't either.
I mean, the Padres can't afford to go over the luxury tax any more than the Mets can. So the Padres are going to have to be creative at the trade deadline. They're going to have to find another team to take up a bunch of salary of somebody like they did with Luis Arraez. And it's not easy to do. So, you know, I don't know how much the Padres have saved up. But I don't think it's going to be a whole lot, not to get somebody like Pete Alonso. But I think Pete Alonso would be wonderful. You could move, put him on first base, put Cronenworth on second, and get Arraez back DHing when everybody's healthy.
Pete Alonso's not doing great against lefties either, so.
Yeah, but, well,
he has an 840 OPS, which is not bad.
That's not bad.
No, not at all.
It's pretty good.
It's better than what the Padres players have.
Yeah, any Padre player against lefties.
I think... I got to ask myself the question, so let me go back to
the
question.
Yeah, what is the question? Remind yourself what the question
is. Are the Padres in a spot to take a risk on Pete Alonso, even if he's a rental? Answer is no. They need to save those prospects and all that for someone maybe long-term. This doesn't feel like an A.J. Preller deal. A.J. Preller usually has things like further control or the team paying for some of the salary. Doesn't seem like a deal that A.J. Preller would be into, just sending a bunch of prospects for a rental. But we'll see. You never know. We can never count it out here in San Diego.
Number four.
Now, we already talked about Caitlin Clark, but I left it in here anyway because it's been a little bit since we talked about it. We talked about Kennedy Carter and her knocking Caitlin Clark to the floor in kind of a cheap shot. So, you know, to Caitlin Clark's credit, she just chalked it up to playing professional basketball. She said it was a physical game, and she's playing professional basketball. She shouldn't be too worried about it. So I'm up first. How do you think the WNBA players have treated Caitlin Clark so far? We kind of touched on this, but I think that the WNBA players seem to be a little jealous of her and the attention that she's getting. Now, Caitlin Clark has not asked for any of the attention, but she's the best basketball player, women's basketball player in the world, in my estimation.
She's not.
You don't think so?
No.
She's
still a rookie in the league. I mean, there's players that are twice as good
as
her.
Okay, all right. In that regard, yes. But I just think that a lot of these players...
The most famous player, maybe, but
okay,
she's not
there we
the
go.
Best.
That's what it is, the most famous player. I just think some of these players see the hype that she's getting, and they don't like it. And so they take their cheap shots when they can. And this is just the life of Caitlin Clark going forward. Chris, what do you think?
I think it's a bunch of BS that they're just knocking her to the ground. Like I said earlier, you're not tough if you walk up behind somebody and hip check them to the floor without you even seeing them coming. That doesn't make you tough. That just makes you a punk. So, you know, if that's what, you know, this particular player wants that image, then, you know, she'll continue to do that.
I like how after the game they asked her about the incident, and she said, I'm not answering any questions about Caitlin Clark.
No, and her coach came out today and said, that's not who we are. And apparently, it kind of is who
you
are.
You didn't do anything about it yesterday.
Yeah, you didn't do anything at the time. You had a chance to address it. 2 days later, you address it and say, that's not who we are, but that apparently is who you are. There's a big part of me that wants to say this, but it's almost too much kumbaya.
Hmm.
And what I want to say is that Caitlin Clark is, and I'm not the only one who thinks this, the reason that the WNBA is getting all of this attention and the money coming into the league and the eyeballs coming into the league. If she's not the only reason, she's a big reason. And the league would be smart to protect their investment a little bit more. That's all. I mean, all right. These players, yeah, I agree with you, Scrave. I think they're jealous, and there's no place for just cheap shots, though. You want to battle tough under the glass. You want to, hand fight a little bit. But that play the other day was just flat out dirty.
It was. All right.
Number three.
I got nothing else to add, so we can move on to Tommy Pham, Chris. White Sox Tommy Pham got into it with William Contreras and the Brewers yesterday and wanted to fight. Here he is during postgame talking about wanting to fight.
This is a shallow fly ball to left field. You would expect the left fielder to throw the base runner out on that play, but the situation of the game, third base coach sends you, you got to go. I'm nailed out at home by a mile. I'm going to the dugout, and I hear the tough guy with all the hoorah. So I'll never start anything, but I'll be prepared to finish it. There's a reason why I do all kinds of fighting in the off season, because I'm prepared to somebody up. So you can take it as what it is.
And then he walked away past the camera. Tommy Pham is a person I take very seriously. He is not someone I would want to mess with. I'm almost afraid to answer this question. I'm going to retweet the actual play right in just a few minutes. So if you want to go to @MattScraby, it should be there soon. But, Chris, do you like his tough guy at him?
No.
Because it's not going anywhere.
I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it, so... I don't know what else you'd want to say.
Okay.
I'm not a fan. I called for him to come back at the beginning of this season. It seems like a long time ago now when it seemed like we really needed him. And fortunately, it's worked out the way it has. And Profar's done the thing. And, there's been really no need for Tommy Pham here. But
true.
I'm not a fan of that. I mean... Again, I'm going to sound Mr. Kumbaya. I don't really want to keep going there, but can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
I mean, the posturing of Contreras after the play, it's also unnecessary.
Very unnecessary.
It's so... A little sportsmanship, please. Hello, WNBA. Hello, collisions at the plate. Play the sport hard, but try to have a little respect for your opponent. That is... So kumbaya, because it is so far away from being the way it is anymore that I don't know that we'll ever get it back.
I don't think so either. Do I like the tough guy attitude? No, because you can't just say you want to fight everyone every time something goes against you. I think we're a little bit past those days.
Tommy Pham sounds like he's 14 years old.
It is
Come
like
on,
that.
Tommy.
It's like you don't agree with me? Let's go outside and fight. Like, that's not what we do
Maybe
anymore.
If we change his name to Tom Pham, he would feel a little more grown up.
I think that the Brewers were a little... Like you said, William Contreras and his posturing, they were a little bit too much. I felt like the play was weird to begin with because it seemed like William Contreras was blocking the plate to me, but we have no idea what catcher
interference is. I mean, it's like the Caitlin Clark play. In a vacuum, it's a cheap shot, and it will still be a cheap shot. But if you play the whole video leading up to it, it looked like Caitlin Clark was yapping at that girl all the way down the floor. I don't know for sure. It just looks like it. So maybe Caitlin Clark needs to keep her mouth shut and play basketball also.
Maybe that's why she said, hey, it's not a big deal, because she knew she was talking
maybe
trash.
Maybe that's some of the sportsmanship that needs to be improved upon.
True. All right.
Number two.
Oliver Marmol is not a fan favorite as the manager of the Cardinals, and over the weekend he struck again in Cardinals fans' eyes. Trailing by a 1 in the top of the 7th against the Phillies on Friday, Marmol summoned rookie shortstop Mason Wynn to pitch hit, but the decision backfired in more ways than one. Wynn did not get on base in his lone at-bat, which snapped an 18-game hitting streak, the second longest stretch by Cardinals rookie in franchise history. After the game, Marmol explained his thought process and said he asked Wynn if he wanted to put the streak on the line, and he agreed that he is okay with getting the win over the streak on the line. Fans were not pleased, though, so hey, fans are mad, everybody's mad. I'm up first. Is there ever a time for a manager to manage around a streak? Depends on where you are. Game one, you got a streak going from last season. You could probably make a decision around that. If you needed this guy to play to win the game, then you use the guy to win the game. The streak is only as good. Let me erase that. The streak doesn't matter if you lose the game. The streak does not matter. And the Cardinals need as many wins as they can. Chris, is there ever a time for a manager to manage around the streak?
I don't know. But the biggest example of a streak being broken by a manager is not that. The biggest example this weekend of a streak being broken by a manager was Jeremiah Estrada's strikeout streak, which was broken before he was allowed to even throw a pitch on Friday night.
We don't have enough time. Can we go? Can we talk about that at 5 o'clock?
Sure.
5 o'clock.
But, we're gonna talk about that was the one.
Yeah, that was it.
He ordered an intentional walk, which was the right play.
Yep.
But you know what? They could have ordered that before they brought him into the game. And that way, his streak would have still been alive.
That is true.
So I might have, I might have done that differently, but we'll talk about
it. Yeah, we will. All right. Number one. I was watching War for the Planet of the Apes over the weekend, Chris. And let me tell you, that is one of the worst
movies
I've ever
seen. Please call my friend Scraby and do something socially with him so he's not stuck watching these stupid movies.
You know I love every movie, and I won't finish this one, so you know that's pretty bad. But I got looking, and there are many Planet of the Apes movies. In total, there are 10 movies, with one being released later this year. Chris, I want to know what's a movie that didn't need as many sequels.
I'll tell you a movie that didn't need any sequels, and that was the great movie Rocky.
Oh, yes.
There's only one good movie, Rocky.
But about Rocky IV? That was the good one.
It wasn't the good one. The Academy Award winning one was Rocky.
Someone named Rocky as soon as you said it.
Rocky IV was not nominated, nor should it have been nominated for anything.
What about the one where he had a robot as his butler? I think I'm proving your point right now.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
All right. When we get back, we're going to talk about Jeremiah Estrada and his strikeout streak, Mike Schilt's decision to intentionally walk, all that good stuff. Back when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.